This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Kaspersky Labs. Over 400 million users around the globe trust Kaspersky Labs to protect their banking, browsing, shopping, and socializing from dangerous online threats. Kaspersky Labs is providing a special offer, 50% off its premium software, Kaspersky Total Security. Go to Kaspersky.com and use the offer code WTT at checkout and get 50% off Kaspersky Total Security. HostPapa. HostPapa's powerful web hosting solution and cloud-based productivity tools are perfect for small business owners, digital entrepreneurs, and freelancers. Go to HostPapa.com/GFQ today and use our exclusive promo code GFQ to save 15% off their most popular shared web hosting packages. That's HostPapa.com/GFQ. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/Andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. What the tech? Hey, buddy, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Thorod. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
Paul, you look handsome in this picture.
I've never looked better.
Paul right now is in Toronto for which event is it?
The Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference.
Oh, I mean, it's not a big deal or anything.
It's actually a pretty big show.
I know. Oh, my God, I saw some of the pictures you posted. It's like a rock concert. It really is.
It is, like, and it's always like that.
Yeah. There's pyrotechnics. there's a lot going on.
Sure, there's performers.
Yeah.
Music, dancing, singing.
Yeah. Paul's having some bandwidth issues. So if you could just bear with us on that. Paul is in a hotel and he has no wired connection. So today it's going to be video. It's going to be audio only for Paul, and hopefully it'll survive.
Right.
The way it's supposed to. Guys, we have a lot to talk about today. I actually have tons to talk about. I actually have a cool little toy here, and I want to show people this. This is not an iPad. I just got this yesterday, like shipped like overnight from China, which I want to talk about this. Right. It's a fascinating, fascinating device. But before we do that, I want to talk about our sponsor, and that's a new sponsor, Kaspersky Labs. Guys, it is extremely, extremely important right now to stay protected when you are surfing the web, when you're using your computer. I hear horror stories constantly from people, just the typical spyware stuff, the malware stuff, to credit banking fraud that's happening, bizarre pop-ups that's happening, emails that are coming in. My father-in-law just sent me an email, and I swear to you, I actually should have pulled it up. He wrote, "Arrested. Andrew, help, arrested, click this link." That was the email I got from my father-in-law. And I know better than to click on that when my father-in-law is writing arrested, because he doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't leave the house. But someone else may not. And these are the people, if you are surfing around the internet without an antivirus, without some sort of internet security, check this out. Go to Kaspersky.com and check out this awesome deal that they have. Kaspersky Lab is providing a special 50% off its premium software, Kaspersky Total Security, for our audience. If you go to Kaspersky.com and use the code WTT at checkout, you get 50% off their premium software, Kaspersky Total Security. This is something that anybody with a PC needs to consider. You should not go in blind. You should not be clicking on stuff and surfing around. Listen, I'm on a Mac, and we Mac users have this idea that we're kind of safer, right? And we're fine to click around because we're on a Mac. We're not going to get anything. Guess what? It happened to me the other day. I clicked on something and I had 5,000 things pop up, and it said, "Hey, would you like to download this link?" I freaked out. I just shut the whole thing down like a child. I was like, "I don't know what this is. I'm shutting it down." When all else fails, Paul, just click off.
Yes.
Yep. That's because I didn't have an antivirus. I didn't have a total security, Kaspersky Labs total security. The cool thing about this is that you get five devices to put this on. So you can put it on your Android phone, your Mac, your Windows 10 device. I mean, any device that you have, up to five devices. Kaspersky Labs, Kaspersky.com. Use offer code WTT at checkout and get 50% off your purchase. I want to thank Kaspersky for supporting the podcast and, of course, for supporting the JFK Network. And, guys, let them know. Let them know we sent you. So, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Where do you want to begin today? So tell me about what's going on up there in beautiful Toronto. First of all, I was hoping to have video for the show because you are in a beautiful, beautiful yep. location right now.
Yeah, it was, I'm not even sure where to start. It's kind of funny. I mean, we've got myself, you know, here, and Brad is here, and also some other people from my company. And Brad and I are staying at the Renaissance Hotel downtown Toronto, which is built into the side of the stadium where the Toronto Blue Jays play, which is the baseball team here. And it's not really a dome stadium, but it has a retractable roof. And some of the rooms, including mine, actually look out onto the stadium,
mm-hmm.
you know, onto the baseball field, like a box seat kind of a thing. And you can actually open your window up onto the stadium. And so the day that I arrived, which was Sunday, there was a game. Actually, it was the last game before the All-Star break, too. So there was a big pregame ceremony thing. And, you know, then the baseball game started. And I watched I watched eight innings. We had to go to a meeting that night, or like a dinner meeting thing. And, you know, the Blue Jays won. I know that's a big deal for people. But, like astonishingly good view of the stadium. Like maybe last year or the year before, we got monster seats for the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park. And the view from my window here is analogous to that. It's like looking down the left field line, actually, you know, from the back.
Thank you. My producer just pulled it up. There it is. Look at that beautiful shot.
Yeah, it's astonishing. And it was funny because when we arrived at the hotel, we got in pretty early, and the woman I dealt with didn't want to check me in. And I was like, listen, I actually woke up at 3:15 this morning to get here. I have that, you know, a meeting later in the day. They weren't going to let me check until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was probably 11 o'clock in the morning or something. And I'm like, I really need to get into any room and just sleep. I don't care what it is. And she wouldn't do it. So Brad's checking it next to me. Oh, yeah. God. So Brett, the woman is checking Brad in, says, is like, yeah, I got a room for you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hold on. I'm like, what the I'm ready to explode. You know, I'm like ready to lose it. And she says, hold on a second. I'm going to get you a room too. And so that woman, for some reason, could make it work. So Brad got a room just like mine on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
And like we're, you know, fourth floor, like 90 rooms apart, you know, like it's like one long curved hallway.
Yeah.
And after we checked in, we were going to go up in the elevator, and I looked, you know, back toward like a bar area, and you could see this vista view of the stadium. And I was like, hold on a second. And I said, you know what, let's hang out down here for an hour or so. And so we got drinks and a little bit of food, and we're taking all these pictures of the stadium. And like, this is amazing, you know, thinking that would be the extent of it. And then we go up to the room, and we just, our separate rooms, again, like opposite ends of the stadium or opposite ends of the hotel. And you open the door to the room, and you're like, holy crap. Like this, like the view out the window in the hotel room is better than the view that we saw downstairs. It's unbelievable.
So is it noisy in the room?
No, when you close the window, when the windows are closed, normally it's like those noise, you know, canceling glass, like it's probably triple
plate
glass or whatever.
Yeah, because I was looking at it, right? So this picture actually doesn't do justice that I have. I have the far shot. I don't have the long shot, like the close-up shot. You're literally on the field. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. And I was thinking, I would do this, right? I would absolutely go to a game with Jess and stay in this hotel. And I was like, how noisy would it get during the game?
Yeah. So it's in the stadium, so it's you know, you can hear, it's crazy. Like it's and by the way, you know, when you open the window and look down, there are people's heads less than 10 feet below you. I mean, like the seats go up to this point, obviously, like the stadium seats. So there's people down there, you know. And with the window closed, you can kind of hear, it's like little, you know, like the dun, 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 you know, dun, dun, dun. And then if somebody on their team does something great, you can hear that. It's kind of like a soft roar, like, you know, like you can kind of hear it. But I was exhausted. Like I really did need to sleep. And so by the time we got up here, you know, the game probably started early in the afternoon or something. Like I kind of waited for the game to start before I took a nap. And then I probably slept through the first, you know, three and four innings, whatever it was. And it was actually very soothing. I would, you know, you wouldn't normally come here and sleep during a game, but I actually found it to be I had no problem sleeping at all. But then I woke up and I watched most of the rest of the game until I had to leave. But
oh, that's awesome.
It was amazing. So, but the thing that's happened since then, though, is obviously the game ends. And so we went out, like I said, that night to some dinner thing and got in, you know, say 10 o'clock at night or whatever time it was. And I was really curious to see what was going to happen down in the field, what they were going to do. And they closed the roof and they started peeling up the, it's got artificial turf. So from the outfield in, they started working to get rid of the grass. And they covered up the, you know, they at first they covered up the mound. They actually removed the mound and it was a hole for a while. And then they covered that and they covered up the base path with what looks like tinfoil. And then it's a lot uglier.
Like yeah, I saw that picture. It actually looks hideous now.
Yeah, it's gross. And you know, whatever work they do, like through the night they worked, I didn't hear it at all. I mean, whatever they were doing, I don't know. But when I woke up in the morning, you could tell more of the grass was gone. They covered it with some kind of material. And I found out later they're gearing up for a concert on Saturday. I think Guns N' Roses is coming to town. So I'll be long gone by then. But I mean, I was kind of imagining like maybe they'll have something during the week here when I'm here still. But, you know, I don't remember exactly what happened. But, you know, when I left on, say, Monday morning, it was kind of in whatever state. And I got back here in the middle of the day at one point and it was, you know, a little more was gone. And I think by last night they had put a blue tarp up over the windows of, you know, from the hotel. So from downstairs, you can still see out onto the field. But up in the rooms, there's like blue tarp.
I mean, it's still covering. Beautiful. I mean, it's still a beautiful, you know, view to have of the stadium.
That's crazy. It's the craziest. I've stayed in really nice hotels, you know, not too many of them. But I mean, enough where I thought, like, I've seen what there is to see from hotels. Like last year, I stayed at an absolutely insane suite in Las Vegas that was bigger square footage wise than my house. And, you know, I've stayed at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in Washington, D.C., which is beautiful. And I'm thinking, you know, these are high-end hotel experiences that I've been lucky enough to have. And then I walked into this room and I was like, okay, this is it. This is the new winner. You know, I mean, I love baseball too, so it was kind of cool just to and we had just gone to we went to a Red Sox game. Actually, we got really expensive seats last weekend with some friends. And they lost like 22-3 as I was going. It was like a historic shellacking. But, I mean, those seats were no better than the view from this room.
That's amazing.
Yeah, crazy.
You know what? It might be worth it just to rent the hotel and have, you know, friends over to watch the game like that.
Yeah.
Have like a party in the room.
I mean, the only issue would be, you know, like you can open the window, but the window you're opening is kind of, if you're standing in front of it, it's kind of at waist high enough.
Yeah.
So like what you'd want to do is sit down and there's some chairs in here. You could actually sit in front of the window and watch it, but you'd be kind of looking through glass a little bit, even if the window was open.
Yeah.
What you kind of need would be like tall stools or something, but
very cool.
It's neat. It's a neat room. Cool. So
you're
and
there.
By the way, the city's beautiful. Like this. Toronto's
awesome. I mean, it's one of my favorite cities in the world to go to.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful. Nice and clean. It's a clean
Everyone's
New York.
Everyone's super nice.
Yeah, it's a clean New York. It doesn't have the smell of rotting Chinese food and urine like we have here in the city in the summer. No. Yeah,
you'd be sitting on a street corner and there'll be a guy on a bike or something and he's like, oh, you guys in town for some kind of a conference? He's like, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like, oh, I hope you enjoy your time here. And I'm like, yeah, just like what would happen in New York City.
Yeah. Just you know, like,
except there'd be another guy robbing you while the other guy was talking to you.
So you're there for an event.
Yes.
Pretty big one.
Yep.
What can you tell us? Anything coming out of this event?
Well, so this is the Microsoft Partner Conference, right? Yeah. So it's all about Microsoft's partners.
And it's humongous. I mean, how many people were in that stadium, that arena?
I don't remember the exact number, but let's say it's in the 15,000 to 16,000 range, something like that. They always do this. I mean, wherever it is, it was in Orlando last year, which I didn't go to. It was in Washington, D.C. the year before that. It's been here before. They almost always have the keynotes, which is 2 or 3 days. This year, it's three days in a basketball/hockey arena, right? So it's like watching a concert in the round. Like, you know, the stage is down in the middle. Big projection, lots of lights and, you know, production value and whatever. And when you think about Microsoft and its businesses and all that, I mean, some huge percentage of the money that they make goes through partners, right? Partners are a huge part of Microsoft's success. And so this is one of the big Microsoft shows. I mean, they have other big shows. You know, Build is pretty big. Ignite is pretty big. But, you know, partners is like the most important thing to them. So
yeah,
this is kind of a higher end event almost, if that makes sense. I mean, you don't get a lot of tech bloggers here. It's not the riffraff. You
lucky
know what I mean?
You.
It's like, yeah. It's like analysts and, you know, it's big. I'm surprised I even let press in here, to be honest. It's not that much, you know, compared to other shows. But so I guess the point of that, though, is that there's not a lot in the way of hard news, although today there were some news items around, you know, Surface as a service and some Office 365 stuff. And, you know, there's a Windows 10 Enterprise SKU. A lot of things that, you know, are kind of on the periphery of what's interesting to people who are listening to this podcast, but
yeah,
are really more enterprise business focused.
So here's the question I have. Have they, you know, since when the Surface came out, a lot of people were freaking out a little bit over this, right? So have they announced anything with partners, how they're going to handle further hardware development and things like that?
Well, okay, so I'm not sure if you're trying to direct me toward an exact thing, but
no, just the overall yeah. tone with this.
Yeah, well, so here's a really good example of how the Microsoft partner ecosystem works. Because when a company like Microsoft announces a couple years back that we're going to make our own computers and we're going to sell them directly to consumers and to businesses through the Microsoft Store, you know, there are sort of easy stories that you can kind of make up about how, oh my God, they're screwing over their PC maker partners and blah, 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 what's going on. But the thing that's happened over the couple of years since then is that Microsoft has allowed its partners to resell Surface, including, by the way, its biggest PC maker partners. Both HP and Dell, for example, have agreed to resell Surface. Yeah. Lenovo has not, but those are the big three. They've done other things that are kind of on the side, like they're allowing their PC maker partners to basically copy Surface as well, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But the point being that, you know, Microsoft makes these devices, but the way that, you know, their kind of collective body of enterprise customers gets served isn't by Microsoft directly, not always. It's through, like, PC makers or hardware makers as well. So this is kind of a natural extension of that. And so just to kind of put this in number terms, 1 year ago, they had 200 companies that were reselling Surface, meaning that these companies would buy Surface from Microsoft, and then they would sell them to customers, whoever they might be, typically businesses in some kind of volume, typically with warranty and support services, typically with other services that have nothing to do with the device itself, as part of some package. This year, they have over 10,000 partners reselling Surface. So the growth in that, in the partner ecosystem just for Surface, is exponential, right? I mean, it's crazy growth. And that's how the partner thing works for Microsoft. That's the point. In other words, it's not Microsoft selling Surface.
Yeah.
It's Microsoft and now over 10,000 companies selling Surface.
Yeah.
And not just selling Surface, supporting Surface, right? They have a Surface subscription service where a reseller would buy, say, you know, some collection of Surface devices. They resell them to some set of customers. Those customers use those devices for 2 years, and, you know, maybe some of them get repaired over that time. You know, there are various services that occur. The 2 years is up. The partner gets those services back. They can then resell them again to a different company, maybe like an educational institution that doesn't have a lot of money and doesn't mind using a two-year-old Surface device, right? And so that's yeah. how this whole thing works.
So
it's it's just a different world. It's very interesting.
When we're talking about, it is a real different world because if, you know, going back to when the Surface came out, there was a lot of concern over what the partners were going to say about this.
And there were huge repercussions from the PC maker partners. But again, like, it's really interesting because Dell and HP, and actually, you know, by the way, these things aren't exactly related, but it is interesting to note that on the same day, here's two news items. HP and Dell both resell Surface. They're among the many companies that resell Surface. HP and Dell separately, and again, not related to this exactly, but it's just kind of interesting, are the two only major PC makers that experienced sales growth in the most recent quarter. So Lenovo sales have been up. If these trends continue, HP will become the biggest PC maker in the world starting next quarter. And Lenovo will be number two, but you know, Dell will be number three, but HP had both wrong. So despite the fact,
Paul, your audio is breaking up. I'm gonna ask a question while it tries to settle in there. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you also mentioned that Microsoft is allowing them to kind of copy the Surface.
Yep.
how does that relationship work and how does it go? Because we know that the Surface is kind of like this reference device for this is what a Windows 10 device should be like. You know, you want an you want a touch device, you want it to be, you know, a tablet, a laptop. This is what this device should be like. What is the relationship with that? And then and how does it work with the Surface Book? Is it the same kind of open relationship when it comes to the Surface Book as we see with the Surface?
Yeah, so this information has never been publicly documented. This is stuff I've gotten from people I know, PC makers, and I've talked to them, and basically the deal is, and I expect the stuff to become public eventually, but the way this basically works is, it's Surface Pro specifically at this point. As you go to the website for any major PC maker, you will see some device exactly like Surface Pro. They'll do the little tweaks to it. You know, they'll change the stand design. They'll, you know, maybe have a better hardware keyboard or whatever it is. But, you know, Microsoft owns patents on some of the stuff. They're partners, so it's kind of weird for them to sue them or whatever. But clearly yeah. there's some deal in place where, you know, we're just going to let this happen. That's the point, you know. The other thing is, you know, the Surface is kind of – obviously there was some bad blood between Microsoft and PC maker partners when this happened. On Microsoft's part, they were getting tired of – the PC makers not innovating, this coming out with just the same old crap year after year.
It wasn't innovating, yeah. and it was kind of falling apart because it was crap.
Yeah.
You know, and the
right.
netbooks are a great example of not innovating.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Windows 8 for all of its problems, you know, Microsoft said, "Look, this is how the industry is changing. We need to go touch. This need to be touch first devices." The PC maker partner said, "Yeah, that's cute," and then they just put out a bunch of non-touch normal PCs that launched with Windows 8. So, no, you know, knowing a year in advance that this was going to happen, Microsoft. Yeah. Let's greenlight the Surface thing. Let's show them what these things are supposed to be like. So, you know, the bad blood occurs and all that stuff. But, you know, they've been trying to make up for it ever since. One of the ways you can make up for it is to let them copy the designs, right? And they've seen great success. I've talked to HP and specifically has talked about this. You know, their Surface-like design, the Elite X2, has been very successful to them. And, you know, they're a smart company. They're not just going to copy Surface. You know, they put little touches on top of it. They do different things. It's smart. But the other side of it is, you know, marketing dollars, like there's a little bit of bad blood from last year where a lot of the marketing dollars that typically would have gone toward PC makers around the launch of Windows 10 went to the launch of those new Surface devices that came out last year. So kind of a little bit of a problem there. And then there's the whole resell, you know, the Surface partner thing. And so that stuff has all changed this year. And so this year, again, 10,000 resellers, amazing. This year, you're going to see a lot more marketing dollars from Microsoft around rival designs from other PC makers around the anniversary update and the back to school stuff and the holiday stuff that's coming up.
Yeah, I'm curious to Great. See how that changes because we saw some really cool ones this year, but they were all kind of missing something.
Yeah. So let me here's something that nobody has really picked up on, but there's been there have been rumors, and you know, Mary Jo, I think, was one of the person who initiated this notion that Microsoft is not going to have a major Surface set of releases in the fall this year like they have in the years past, and they were instead going to push it back to next spring. And there have been more recent rumors now, like, well, maybe there might be a Surface something, and maybe it'll be an all-in-one. You know, maybe there'll be some Xbox stuff, like the streaming devices, you know, whatever. In one of the – it's not really a press release. I guess it's like a blog post that Microsoft put out today about Surface – I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit, but it basically says, you know, we have a growing portfolio. We're not just creating great devices, but also creating breakthrough categories that open up a world of opportunities for partners to build in their own capabilities in new areas. This year, we, meaning Surface, are investing in programs that increase partner revenue and profitability. Now, on the surface of that sentence, sorry.
no pun intended.
Talking, yeah, exactly. Sorry. You know, it's an innocent enough statement. It's just, you know, we're investing in programs that increase partner revenue and profitability. Yes, with regards to Surface. And they are. But I think what this also means is that this year, there's no new device releases. Like this year, we're investing in our partners. In other words, Microsoft isn't shipping Surface devices that will compete with these new designs. They're going to let these other new designs sit in the market without having to worry about Surface. So I think this bolsters the notion, and I know from talking to people at Microsoft that this is in fact the case, that spring is the time, you know, for the next big Surface release.
So would this also have something to do with possibly wanting to wait for the next Intel chipset?
So obviously, I think that's the big speculation. I think that makes sense. I think that is the case. But there's another piece to this. Here's something to think about. With the exception of Apple, which I think we can agree is a unique company, most electronics devices like this actually launch in the spring, right? Think about like Samsung. When the Samsung S5 or S6 or S7 or whatever comes out, it's not November, it's not October, it's not September, it's spring, right?
Yeah. Interesting.
That's when those things happen.
Yeah.
And I think I actually think that's the model. I think this is Microsoft getting back on track with that normal schedule. Because when you think of it really does relate to this partner thing. It's not about Microsoft getting stock into their own stores and selling it directly to people or companies. It's about getting this stuff out into the channel in volume so that it can be sold around the world
At
simultaneously
the
in as many
appropriate time.
places as possible. Yeah, and that takes time.
Was
And I
that
think
kind
by
of okay? So to go back to Windows 10, though, did this
Yeah.
the original release was like April, right? Like
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
originally.
yeah.
I mean, is that kind of the same thing where they want it to be on the schedule of, the spring
Yes.
and then push everything out, and things happened and got delayed, and anniversary is now really, a lot of stuff happened until
That
April
is,
came.
by the way, that's exactly.
I'm
So
guessing. I'm guessing you
the funny
said.
thing.
I'm guessing you said that's exactly what it is, but you broke up.
I did. That's exactly right.
Okay. Okay.
The funny thing is, for people like me who kind of follow Microsoft, Mary Jo thought the same thing. When you hear spring, the immediate thought is, well, they're delaying this for some reason, Kaby Lake, whatever. But you're right. The Microsoft intention was always for the Surface devices to ship in the spring. That was always
Well,
gonna.
I mean,
That was what
it
they
makes the
always.
most sense, right? You want it's the end of the year. Well,
Well, I say
you're
that
gonna get
like
the
a.
end of the school year and the beginning of the college, and you're they're always
Well,
missing that.
all right. I mean, regardless of what month it happens, and let's say April, Microsoft announces Surface Book 2, Surface Pro 5. They're not going to hit the market until end of May. June happens, you get back to school, right? Over the summer, these things spread out through the channel, and now, enterprises are going to adopt these things whenever they adopt them. But now they're out in the world, and now they can follow that natural life cycle,
Yeah.
which most consumer electronics devices actually follow.
Yeah.
So I say this. I do want to be really clear about this. I never thought this was right, but it become clear, and this is based on just talking to people at Microsoft. This has always been their intention. It was not never clear to me. It's only clear to me in like a Monday morning quarterback kind of sense. Like once you hear the rationale, you're like, yeah, okay,
That makes
actually that
sense.
makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting. Very, very
Yeah.
interesting. I'm curious to see what they put out because there's a lot of competition out there, and I want to discuss this. You did the full review of this HP laptop, huh? It's now posted, so I'm going to talk about that next. But before we do that, guys, I want to talk about a new sponsor to the show, and that's Hostpapa. Guys, web hosting is a pain in the butt to find the right guys. I have to tell you. We deal with this issue multiple times. We've had this issue with web hosting where we've gone to a company, we've signed up, and it is a disaster from day one. We've had nothing but problems. Just the other day, we had to change over servers, and it's just a constant issue. Luckily for me, I have a great web admin. Suncast runs pretty much everything on the website, and we're able to kind of work with this. And we have a unmanaged server, so pretty much we do all the work. But if you are a small business, you really can't have downtime, and you really can't wait for you to figure it out, or a friend of yours to figure it out if you don't have an admin. A company like Hostpapa goes a real long way. These guys specialize in hosting solutions for small businesses, and they offer phenomenal deals. Here's the website. If you go to hostpapa.com/GFQ, it'll bring you to this page, and if you use GFQ at checkout, the promo code at checkout, you get 15% off shared web hosting. So $395 starting plus a 15% off discount for our listeners. They also offer 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, phone, email, and chat support. So they will always be there for you. One of the best, I mean, this is one of the best competitive pricing plans I've ever seen. The other thing that they do is a no-risk offer. 30 days money back. Once you sign up with them, you can start setting up. And for whatever reason, it is not what you expected. Guess what? 30 days, you get your money back. They also have a slew of other services. They do email. They do web hosting. They do domain names. They are a turnkey solution for almost all your small business needs. And they also have a web builder. So if you're not really web savvy, you could just go there and they could you could use their service to build out the website. Great guys over there. I actually, the other thing that's really cool is they have a one-click WordPress installer. So pretty much it does everything. And it's literally, I mean, less than an hour your website will be up. I just had to do one for somebody. Unfortunately, it wasn't with HostPop. I had to do it. And it took me forever because I had to go and install everything myself. So when you have something built in like this, a one-click web WordPress installer, very, very easy. GFQ, it's hostpapa.com/GFQ. Use the offer code GFQ at checkout, the promo code, and you get 15% off shared web hosting. They have a couple plans, actually. They have $395 and it goes all the way to $999 for the shared web hosting. Let me see if I can pull up the website here and show you guys while I'm doing this. Let's go to web hosting. Look how easy this is. I'll show you how easy it is to pick out a plan. So $395 and then $1,295 for the Business Pro plan plus the 15% off. And these are all the stuff that you get, guys. So you go there, check it out, hostpapa.com. They're new advertisers. They're going to be with us for a while. And I think next week I'm gonna show a demo of actually purchasing something from there because I was very, very pleased with talking to them. We've spoken about other hosting plans before, and I spoke to them personally, and they're really, really all about the customer service and really making it easy for you guys. Hostpapa.com/GFQ. Get 15% off when you use the offer code GFQ at checkout. I want to thank HostPapa for supporting the show, for, of course, supporting the GFQ network. Paul.
Yes, sir.
That's not Paul. There you are. Guys, Paul is in Toronto right now. He's in a hotel, and his internet is acting up. It's not doing well. A lot of people tell me to take the compression off Paul's audio. Paul would sound so much better if the compression was off. I have no control over what Skype is doing and what his microphone is doing right now. Paul, turn off your compression. Is there a button you could press? Can you just slam?
Compression.
Yeah, yeah. So we're trying our best right now with Paul's internet acting up. But I do want to talk about a review that Paul did on Therot.com. So everybody should go there and follow through. You had done a preview of this Spectre laptop. I'm really into this laptop. I'm pretty much considering that this will be my next laptop right now. You did like a preview post a couple weeks ago where you kind of showed the details and showed how beautiful it is and aesthetically how it is. But you've been using this thing for a while now, and you have a full review on your website. What is your opinion? I know this was your everyday for a while.
Yeah.
Is it going to continue being your everyday computer?
No, but that's just because of my own peculiar needs. You know, I really prefer big screens. And so there's only a couple of devices to me that I could really use regularly. The Surface Book kind of ekes under the limit a little bit. There's an HP Spectre X360 convertible that has a 15-inch screen, which I really, really like the size of. But this is me. I'm just weird. I just really like the big screen devices. But, Mary Jo brought her review unit of that laptop with her on this trip. And, I've traveled a lot with it. And there's something wonderful about something that thin and light. It's crazy. When you pick it up, you can't believe how light it is. It's nuts.
So what give me like the overall on this thing. So if I'm going into a store to buy this thing, what should I look for?
Yep.
What did you like? What didn't you like? Because I'm seriously considering this.
Sure. I mean, it's kind of a quirky thing in a way because, their goal was to create the thinnest laptop, right? And the thinnest laptop before this was probably the new MacBook. And this thing is thinner than that. It has a bigger screen. It has a nearly full travel keyboard, but the keyboard experience is, just about perfect. It does have a full travel touchpad, right? And so those two things are, I think, the screen, the keyboard, and the trackpad considerably better on the HP than they are on the MacBook. It's less expensive than the MacBook.
Yeah.
It weighs a little bit more because, it's a bigger device.
What was the price on it? It's like $12.99 or less.
$11.69 to start.
$11.69. Okay.
$12.49-ish, I think. Which is Core i7, 256 SSD.
So, overall opinion of this Spectre laptop. You said personally you need it for you're not going to make it your everyday computer because of the size. You like the bigger screen. See, I prefer the 13-inch screen.
So for me,
it's fine. That's a non-issue. But what other things stood out? Like the actual durability of it, the keyboard, the trackpad. Because you know how I feel about that.
Yep, all kinds of stuff. So the natural comparison here is with the MacBook, right? The new MacBook.
Yeah.
And on that score, you know, I think they do a great job of competing with that machine, right? So it's thinner. It's not lighter, but it's not lighter because it has a much bigger screen, you know, 13 versus 12. Durability, you know, I've only had it for a couple of months, but I mean, it's really well constructed. It's a premium device. Nearly full travel on the keyboard, which is something you don't get on the MacBook.
Yeah.
In use, it feels like full travel. I type a lot, obviously. The keyboard to me is huge. This keyboard is fantastic. The trackpad or the clickpad or whatever you want to call that, also full travel, something you don't get on the MacBook. It's on the small side, which I'm actually okay with. I kind of prefer smaller trackpads. I'm also kind of unique in that way. It is a smaller trackpad. I'm trying to think what else is in there. One of the big deals with this machine is that they didn't go with Core M. You know, the people that they polled for this machine, they were looking specifically at millennials. You know, people who would buy a high-end premium device. You know, what do you prefer, this or that, you know, that kind of stuff. They were looking for the full performance. They didn't want Core M. And so they had to come up with a unique, what they call hyperbaric cooling system, which pulls the air over the processor.
Yeah.
So the air that comes in is cool. It's just the room temperature. The air that goes out the back is hot because it's been pulled over the processor, and that's how they're cooling it.
Yeah. When I saw it, it was interesting the way that they were cooling it. And that was my concern because it's so thin. I mean, it's ridiculously thin.
So in normal usage, I never experienced, you know, the hot lap thing. It doesn't get overly hot. It hisses sometimes like any Core, you know, based laptop would. I mean, every once in a while, you know, there are fans that kick in sometimes. It's not particularly horrible in that regard. The unique design of the device, you know, meaning the thinness of it, really also required a different kind of hinge. And so it has these piston-based hinges, which are beautiful to look at. They look like really high-end furniture or something.
You're talking from the front, right? I'm trying to find a good.
They're curved and recessed and beautiful looking. You know, the materials are beautiful.
Doesn't it almost feel like it should detach that screen?
Yeah.
Right? Like there should be some sort of magnetic. It should be a magnetic. Hinge should be magnetic, and like there should be a magnetic clip on the bottom, and it just detaches.
Well, so here's the thing. To achieve this thinness, and the screen part in particular is incredibly thin, there's no touch, right?
Yeah.
So detaching the screen wouldn't make any sense because you couldn't touch it anyway. And that's, you know, where the trade-offs come in. Because, you know, when you specifically try to target what they were targeting was like 10 millimeter thinness, there are going to be trade-offs. You know, you're using a Core i5 or i7 processor, depending on the model. These things generate a lot of heat. They use a lot of battery power. You know, it's going to be trade-offs. And so the trade-offs on this device, and this is where this, you know, decision-making process kind of comes in. It depends on what's important to you. It's super thin and light, and it's beautiful. Objectively, I mean, some people are going to think it's beautiful. Some people aren't. I think it's beautiful. I think it's a gorgeous device. Some people may not like the styling.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And I think that's the whole selling point now with the, you know, with laptops. You're not... Like for me, I go with the 13-inch because I feel like it's more. I don't want to go with a MacBook Air, right? So this is my compromise. I don't want to go with an Air because the Air is outdated, and I don't want to go with a 15-inch because it's too big for me. I compromise. I kind of settle on the 13-inch.
What you'll like about this machine is the style. I think the thinness and lightness. You throw it in a bag, you don't even notice it's there. It's amazing. When you are using it, 13-inch screen, so it's like the full experience. It's got the full power of a Core i5, i7 system, 8 gigs of RAM, 256, 512 gigs of PCIe storage, so it's really fast. Yeah. You know, it's not EMC or whatever. But, you know, there are trade-offs. So the screen is 1920 by 1080. It's not some crazy, you know, QHD resolution, whatever. It's just, you know, what I think is pretty high, you know, full HD, pretty high res. There's no touch. And then the battery life is, I don't want to call it middling. That's a little unfair, but it's good. It's not great. And so I don't know where the MacBook is exactly, but I bet it's in the 9 hour range or somewhere up in the high single digits. In real world use, this device for me, the HP Spectre, came in around 6 to 6.5 hours of battery life. You know, which is kind of on the low end of the scale. It's not great. It's not, you know, it's not terrible, but if you wanted to fly from Los Angeles to London or something, you know, you're not going to make it on the battery. And so that's just, you know, again, they did what they could given the form factor. They broke the battery up into different parts so they could fit as much battery as they could in there. But, you know, batteries aren't like liquid. You can't like pour it in there and, fill all the crannies. I mean, they did what they could do. So, these are the trade-offs.
Yeah, it's a beautiful device. It's a beautiful device.
It is. It's a beautiful device.
Paul, how are we looking on time? Do you have 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Cool. All right, cool. So I have one more thing I want to touch on today. And by the way, guys, tomorrow I'm going to do another show because I feel really bad about Paul's horrible internet. I feel really bad. So tomorrow I'm going to do a show.
Paul's sabotaging the show.
He's a saboteur. I'm going to do it with Iaz. So Iaz is going to come on tomorrow and we're going to talk about verbatim. He's just going to read the transcript and play the role of Paul. No, we're going to talk about some other stuff too. I had so many things on the notes today, so I didn't get to anything. So tomorrow I'm going to do another one, 1 p.m. East, with Iaz. So it'll be a doubleheader, I guess. Sure. Two what the text. So I have one more thing I want to talk about. Before we do that, I want to talk about our last sponsor today, and that's Casper. Guys, I've been speaking about Casper mattresses for God knows how long. It is the best mattress I've ever slept on, and I sleep on one every single night for the last year and a half. And I'm going to tell you, when I first got this thing, it comes in a box. And I was a little apprehensive. Listen, they advertised with us, and I've always been 100% honest. I was a little apprehensive because I said, how good can a mattress be that comes in a box? Guess what? It is single-handedly the best mattress that I've ever slept on. And before this, I had a couple $1,000, very expensive, ridiculous mattress that was terrible. I absolutely hated this thing from day one. I slept on it for 6 years. It was the most miserable 6 years of my life. I had 4 herniated discs, and it did no good for my back problem. And I actually bought it because of my back problem. I was told this is the best thing to buy. Second, I slept on the Casper. I didn't even have the box spring because with a latex and memory foam style mattress, you can't do like a split box spring. It actually can't be a box spring. It has to be a platform. It can't even be a split. It has to be like one. So I had to order one and build it, which took like 5 minutes. It was so easy. It's just a piece of wood that you combine. I slept on the floor and it was the best night's sleep that I had ever had. It was ridiculous. And here's a great deal for you. Go to Casper.com/Andrew. You get $50 off. You save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to Casper.com/Andrew and entering the promo code Andrew at checkout. I'm telling you guys, I am truly passionate about this because it is really, really good. And don't get fooled by a lot of those knockoffs that you see now. If you go on Facebook, and God forbid that you've searched for a mattress, a Casper, for example, there are ads that are targeting you to buy these bogus copycat mattresses that is not, and they are not Casper. And I have to tell you, one of my friends fell for this thing, and it was terrible. It actually wasn't even my friend. It was my mother-in-law. I don't want to say it. She fell for this thing, and it was absolutely terrible, the worst mattress she had. And she goes, I bought this mattress. I thought it was good. I go, no, it's not a Casper. You got a knockoff. Casper.com/Andrew, get $50 off. You also get a 100-night sleep trial. Sleep on this thing for 100 nights, and they'll take it back if it's not good for you. Casper.com/Andrew. I want to thank Casper. So, Paul,
yep.
One more thing before your internet falls apart again. I have two devices here. You saw these already, okay?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Okay. What device would you say I'm holding in my hand?
Well, it looks like some kind of an iPad, full-sized iPad, iPad Air, iPad something.
Yeah. So here is, actually, I could go do this. Paul will not see my video, unfortunately, but for the audience, I'm going to hold two of these up. Just by looking at this, you would say it's an iPad. It looks exactly like an iPad. The bezel's exactly the same. The coloring is exactly the same. The camera placement is exactly the same, but it's missing something here. It's missing the button to turn it on, because it is not an iPad. It is a Techlast X98 Plus 2. This is a hybrid device. It is Android and Windows 10. I got this last night. I'm going to be doing a full review of this because I've been getting asked to review these Chinese knockoff devices for a while now. We spoke about one last year. Do you remember last year when we were talking about one? It was the same exact thing, but not this brand.
Yeah, exactly.
And people were really curious about the thing because this thing is running Intel, first of all. So I think it's running Cherry Trail. So it's an Intel-based thing. It has 64 gigs of memory. And also expandable because you have micro SD card, you have HDMI out, you got DC power, you got a mic, you got a headphone jack, all this stuff. So I got it yesterday, and I have to tell you, I'm doing my homework on this thing, and I'm gonna do as honest of a review as I can. I was a little apprehensive at putting like my personal information in there, so I did a lot of research and I contacted a few people that have reviewed these, legitimate reviews, not paid reviews. And they said, no, the OS is clean. There's no spyware, nothing like that on here. So I'm starting to use this thing as my everyday computer. I've installed my accounts, all that stuff. But it is fascinating how it switches over so seamlessly between Windows 10. And it's Windows 10 Home. It's not even like a... I don't even know. Is there anything lower than Windows 10 Home now? There
yeah,
is.
Well, yeah. It could be mobile.
The mobile, yeah. It's not even... No, it's not mobile. It's full Windows 10. Activated, so it's not a pirated version, and it's I think it goes for like $179.
It's crazy
cheap. So I'm going to be using this more over the next couple weeks to kind of give a full review in Android. I mean, Android is obviously Android. It's running Android 5.1. I am having a problem. There's some sort of update that it's not doing. It's blocking. I wonder if it's like a region issue, because this everything was in Chinese when I got it. And the Windows part, it's just Windows. It works really well. And the battery life has been pretty solid. So this has been at 97% about 3 hours ago. So you could tell the battery's, not really going down that much. I know a lot of people are interested in this. Have you done any of these reviews of these lower-end Chinese, OEM devices?
Yeah.
The shocking thing is the build quality is very good. I'm actually shocked at the build quality. I thought this thing would be falling apart by the way that, some people describe it, but it is really, really well built. I'm taking the plastic off now on it, and it's Intel. So I'm curious on what I'm going to end up using this for, but I'm going to use it for the next couple of weeks and do a full review and talk about it here on the show so people could, find out more information about it. That's it, Paul. We're obviously not going to do a post show today.
No.
Because you need to get out of here, and your internet, again, it's falling apart still, so...
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it was way better. It was way better. All thanks, Paul
Theroux. We should try it over cellular sometime.
Yeah, you know what? Next time, that's what we should do. All thanks, Paul Theroux. Go to Theroux.com. Sign up for Paul, your unbelievable service that you're going to be offering in the fall. Theroux Premium.
Yep.
I'm very excited. I am an alpha member. I'm an
alpha male and an alpha member.
I am an alpha male and no. Well, I'm sure I'm going to get alpha Andrew. Yeah. Theroux alpha members. You can subscribe 35% off your first year if you sign up now. Guys, go there, support Paul, support the website, support Brad, support the company. Go there, sign up. Theroux.com. Guys, we're going to be doing another show tomorrow, 1 p.m. East. I'm going to be joined by Ayaz, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. Not the same thing. Some of the subjects. I want to get his opinion. He's going to be broadcasting from, work, from CNET. So stay tuned for that. You can follow me on Twitter, at Andrew Zarian. You could subscribe where everywhere podcasts are available. And we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.